Has a dream ever saved your life? My dreams literally saved mine, as well as brought an old flame back into my life, whom I later married. Hi, I'm Sheila Balgobin, and I'm known as the Dream Decipherer. And today I'm going to share with you some information about the power of dreams and your mental fitness. So what exactly do dreams have to do with your mental fitness? Well, let me share a few little stories with you that will help clarify things. When I was working as a drug and alcohol counselor, I noticed that my clients, as long as they were taking drugs or drinking, did not dream. However, once they stopped taking drugs and drinking, they dreamt constantly, to the point where they seem to go into psychotic episodes because their unconscious mind was breaking into their waking lives, and it would look that make it seem as if they were having hallucinations. A study that was done at the University of Chicago, they looked at women who had gone through bad divorces and their dreams. During the sleep study that was conducted, there were two groups, well, three groups of women, actually. Women who were happily married and not thinking of divorce, which was their control group. The other two groups were women who had gone through a bad divorce and were dreaming. And the third group was women who had gone through a bad divorce and not dreaming. When they woke up the women who were going into REM sleep, they would ask them what it was they were dreaming about. And they were dreaming about their exes or some aspect of their relationship with that ex. The other group of women either reported that they didn't dream or they couldn't remember their dreams. And the results of the study showed that the women who dreamt actually recovered more quickly and completely from their bad divorces than the women who did not. Dreams have a physiological as well as psychological impact on our lives, and not just the result of cheap red wine or a dodgy takeaway meal. They have a power, and they have important information that can guide our lives and help us to make healthy decisions that are best for us. Now, why is that? Well, dreams come from the deepest part of ourselves, the unconscious mind, which knows all about us, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, etc. Whereas the part of us, the conscious mind, the part of us that says, I, can only take in a small amount of information at any one time. Too much information would literally make our conscious minds just implode. We couldn't handle the information overload. But the unconscious mind clocks everything that is coming into our awareness, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. So it's not just the birds singing outside, the neighbors arguing upstairs, a car backfiring, etc. The unconscious mind is also taking in information from the environment that is pertinent to us, whatever that may be. But you have to be careful. The unconscious mind is a bit of a trickster, you see. It uses things like metaphors, slips of the tongue, forgetting things, etc., in order to get our attention. And if you have a dream and you forget some of it, that's actually okay, because the thing with the highest emotional charge behind it is what you will remember. It's the most important part of the dream that you will retain. Though some dreams may be so clear and so powerful that you remember them in full detail, even years after having the dream. Despite seeming like a bunch of nonsense, dreams have a very real logic and a language all their own. But in order to understand the message behind a dream, you need to be able to crack the code of your dreams. The symbols in our dreams, whether they're people, places, or things, all have a meaning that is very specific to you and your life, which is actually why dream books are of little help, for the simple reason that they're too general. After all, would a dream book take into account the fact that you had a fight with your spouse, that you hate your job and your teenagers are driving you wild, and that you always wanted to be a ballerina? I think not. So there's limited value in using dream books to understand your dreams because it's not pertinent exactly to your life. Over the years, I have helped my clients not only to be able to understand the message of their dreams, but also have taught them how to work with their dreams and crack the code of their dreams so that they can pull out the gold in the gobbledygook, as I call it, of their dreams. I also discovered over time that there were various types of dreams, and I've identified five categories that most dreams will fit into. The first category is the smokestack dream. This is the dreams that burn off the remains and minor stresses of the day that you didn't have a chance to express your frustration, anger, disappointment, whatever, during waking hours. Somebody cuts you off on the way to work. You had a fight with your spouse. Your boss is driving you crazy with deadlines, etc. And these little snippets will appear in your dreams as a means to burn off that stressful energy. The second type of dreams I have identified is the snapshot dream. It's as if your unconscious mind is saying, this is what is like for your soul this day. So it frames a situation or a state of mind that may be currently going on with you to help you gain clarity. Another type of dream is what I call problem solving or creativity dreams. Do you know how many things were created and invented because of dreams? Sewing machines? Google. Yes, Google was created as a result of a dream. Einstein's E equals MC squared, the novel Frankenstein, the double helix of DNA. All of these things were created on the back of dreams. Then there's what I call the big medicine dreams. And these are the dreams that are so powerful and are so marked in your life that even years later, you will recall them with strength and clarity. These are dreams that are usually prophetic in nature. The dream that I mentioned about a dream saving my life and the dream that brought my second husband back into my life are examples of these big medicine dreams. And finally, a category that I recently discovered was communal dreaming. Now, I knew about communal dreaming. For example, the Navajo and Hopi peoples of the Southwest United States will have their elders sit down and dream the world that their great, 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 great grandchildren will live in. And the Aborigine people of Australia speak of dream time, where the past, the present, and future are all connected. But in a more mundane way, I found out from clients of mine that communal dreaming still happens on an everyday level. This particular client dreamt of teaching one of his sons and the son's friend some spiritual teachings during the dream. The next day, the son came to the client and their spouse and said, I had this dream where my friend and I were learning these words and repeated the words that not accurately, but close enough for the father to know that the dream that he had teaching his son and his friend actually took place. So we can dream for our community, and we can communicate with one another through
dreams.
All of this is just to say that dreams have a power and an importance that is vital for us on a physiological level and a emotional level. When we don't dream, we develop psychological problems. We can even develop physical problems because that energy that needs to be expressed is not being released and either paid attention to or at least acknowledged. Such is the power of dreams that it has information that is vital, really vital for helping us to live our lives in the best way possible and to make decisions based on what is right and appropriate for us. It's like a little kite being floated up by our unconscious mind saying, hey, this is important. Pay attention. So what do dreams have to do with mental fitness? Well, as you can see, dreams have the power to help us to heal, as well as to help us to grow and change. And unfortunately, we have our internal saboteurs, which we have picked up from since childhood, that make us think and act and interact with others in certain ways, often without us even being aware that we're being driven by these internal saboteurs. These hidden saboteurs will say things like, you're so stupid. Why can't you do this right? Or look at that person. They're too fat. They're too tall. They're too this. They're too that. Or this situation is hopeless. It'll never be turned around. You can't do anything about it. So you might as well just give up. Or they may say something like, well, if I don't take charge of things, things aren't going to go well. Or they may even say things like, well, I really don't want to say anything, even though this really bothers me, because I don't want to offend anybody. These are all lies of the saboteurs, all of them. It's not true. Yet we believe these lies and they run on in the background. I call them mental malware, these hidden programs, subroutines that run in the back of our minds, driving our behavior without us even being aware of them until they make the computer break down. However, there is hope. These saboteurs can be put in their place and quieted down using simple techniques to be able to develop your mental fitness muscles. Now, what does that mean? It means that these techniques that are so simple yet so powerful, some of my colleagues are even teaching six-year-olds how to use them. So short-circuiting their saboteurs before they become adults and they really become entrenched. I can personally attest to how mental fitness has changed my own life and made it possible for me to recognize from a distance when my internal saboteurs are starting to kick up dust and interrupt my life and to fool around with my decision-making and my relationships. What happens with mental fitness training, where you're exercising these mental fitness muscles, you are starving literally the neural pathways where these saboteurs hang out and cause havoc, and instead feed the neural pathways where our inner sage resides, and that's exactly where our dreams are, seeing things from a higher perspective, a calmer perspective, a broader perspective, so that we can make decisions that are based on our inner wisdom rather than what our saboteurs are driving us to do. At the beginning of this talk, I talked about how dreams actually saved my life. And if I hadn't heeded the message in my dreams, I would literally not be sitting here talking to you today. And I'm going to share that story with you because I just want you to see just how powerful the messages in our dreams can be. Now, this was some years ago now, and I got married here in London, And because of nonsense with the home office, I couldn't get leave to stay. So I had to return to New York and apply from there because in the end, it would be easier. During this time that after I had packed up my things and moved back to New York and started working on getting a visa to return to the UK, I started having a series, well, a repetitive dream. It was so powerful and so scary that I would literally wake up shaking, terrified. The one image that kept coming up was about shipwrecks, shipwrecks, shipwrecks. And I kept thinking, what is this? I'm not going on a cruise. I don't know anybody going on a cruise. I don't understand what this is about. Night after night after night, this dream haunted me. And even during the day, had me shaking whenever I would think about it. What scared me even more was for the first time in my life, I was unable to understand and interpret this dream. But I noted the dream in all of its gory detail and the fear that it inspired in me, and kept making my preparations to return to the UK. But in the meantime, I was also trying to get my husband to join me in New York. And every time I pry the door open, it would slam shut again. I try something else, it pry it open, slam shut again. Till finally, I just said, you know what? The hell with this. Obviously, I'm not meant to do this. So I'm just going to continue to make my way back to the UK. And in fact, my visa came in 3 days. Months and months of trying to get my husband to New York, no dice. But in 3 days, I got my visa to return to the UK. And when I made that decision to return to the UK, the dreams stopped completely, never had them again. Still didn't know what it meant, but whatever it was, whatever this scary thing was, I had avoided it or boarded it in some way because I made a decision to return to the UK. A year later, I was on my way back to work. I worked at a local doctor's surgery near my home, and I was coming back from lunch. And when I got back to the surgery, it was pure pandemonium, people running around, people screaming, crying. And I was like, what on earth has happened? What has so disaster happened that people are acting like this? And all I could get out of people was towers, planes hit, and my mind went blank, completely blank. But I knew in that second what my dream had been about. I walked through those towers every single day as a stockbroker, every single day, to and from work, and as I transacted my business as a stockbroker and walking around in the different buildings. I could very well have been caught up in that maelstrom if I had not listened to my dreams, and God only knows what would have happened. So when I say I believe in the power of dreams, trust and believe, I believe in the power of dreams. But on a happier note, my dreams also brought my second husband into my life after we had gone our separate ways for many years. So you see, powerful dreams are not always the messengers and harbingers of disaster, but can foretell happy events, wonderful events. I believe that the dreams are part of this mental fitness, that it taps into our sage mind, our wiser mind, our higher selves that allow us to see from a higher and broader perspective. And this is why I teach mental fitness to my clients, because I understand from a visceral standpoint how important our dreams can be if we take the time to listen and heed the advice that is being given once you've cracked the code and understand what the dreams are trying to say. Just so you can understand what mental fitness means and how simple it is to bring into your life, I'm going to conduct a little exercise with you. I'd like for you to close your eyes and think about an event in your recent past or in a more distant past that upset you in some way, left you feeling angry, sad, depressed, upset, frustrated, whatever it may be. Close your eyes and think of that situation. And not just think about that situation, but to feel the emotions that were running through you during that time. Now I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to think about that. Now, you've had a few moments to think about that particular situation, and what I'd like for you to do is to, with one of your hands, rub your thumb and forefinger, your pointer finger, together with just enough tension so that you can feel the ridges on both fingers. Just rub with just enough tension to feel those ridges. Now, I'd like for you to take your hand, one hand, and using the fingers of one hand to gently rub over the fingers and palm of your other hand and feel all the sensations of that touch of rubbing the fingers of one hand against the fingers and palm of your other hand. Now, I'd like you to focus on your breath. As you breathe in and out through your nose, I want you to feel the temperature of the air as you breathe in through your nose and the temperature of the air as you breathe back out. Just notice your breath. Just notice the air temperature as it flows in and out of your nose. Now, I'd like you to think about that same situation you were thinking about earlier and think about how you could have dealt with that situation differently. Now, do you feel a difference in yourself? How do you feel now, as opposed to when we started this exercise? How do you feel about that situation now, as opposed to when we started this exercise? I'd love to find out. So if you can send me a message and let me know, I would love to find out. But chances are that you feel calmer, that you were able to look at the situation differently and perhaps come to a different conclusion as to how you could have dealt with it better than you did. And this is mental fitness training. Simple exercises that I call adult cookies. You know, we give cookies to our children to distract them from putting their hands on a hot stove or something. These are adult cookies to help us to take our hands off the hot stove, which is where our saboteurs want us to be and to keep our hands. If you'd like to find out more about mental fitness training and how it can help you to defeat your saboteurs and to make the best decisions of your life using your dreams and other things, contact me. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to share some this very simple but very, very powerful technique with you. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I hope I've shared something with you that you haven't thought about before with dreams and mental fitness. And if you'd like to find out more, you can certainly send me a message, set up a mini consultation, a mini assessment at www.meetingwithsheila.com. Thanks again for your time and attention. Do look forward, hopefully, to hearing from you.